If you have your copy of Scripture, go to 1 John. 1 John. In the second week of a series called Inner World, and we're dealing with subjects such as anxiety and loneliness and depression, And those are heavy topics, I feel like we need to talk about them because, like, on a daily basis, and especially this last week, it's literally been on a daily basis, there are news reports dealing with these issues. And what I've noticed is that the stories aren't limited to the young or the old or the rich or the poor or the Christian or non-Christian. It's all encompassing. And the issues of loneliness, or the issue of loneliness, is a very real issue that we're going to look at today. And even at a time when, in more ways, we have more opportunities through technology and everything to be connected, it seems like it's gotten worse. Even in the process of that, there's more ways of being connected, yet we feel more isolated and alone. And so it's loneliness is not just something relegated to those that are single. And I knew what that felt like. I didn't get married till I was 28, which, you know, 30-something years ago was a rare thing. It's kind of what the average is today. But I remember what loneliness and being alone felt like. When you're single, you kind of expect to be alone. But what I've discovered since then is that there are times when you're married and you still feel lonely. When you have four kids in the house and you still feel lonely. When you have friends and a growing church around you, there's still times when you feel lonely. And if you've ever been leadership, if you are a leader, you know what that feels like. I guarantee you know what that feels like, because leadership can be a very lonely place, and ministry can be a lonely place. And I don't say that to get you to feel sorry for me or the staff. I'm just telling you it's a real thing, because there are a lot of people that believe or think about ministry. There's a lot of guys and women that go into ministry thinking that ministry is going to be just, you know, everybody sitting around reading your Bible and singing Kumbaya. But it ain't that way. There are days just like any other job when it's a struggle and it's a grind, and it can be frustrating. And one of the reasons why it's frustrating is that you're an imperfect person working with imperfect people. In fact, I heard a pastor one time say that ministry would be awesome if it wasn't for the people type thing. And you add to that that we have a very real enemy who's at work to kill, steal, and destroy, to stir up strife and discontent and discouragement, and it's a time bomb ready to explode. Back in 2010, I found myself in one of those times in the history of our church. We were about 5 years old, still meeting in Grain Valley High School, and we hit a rough patch. And I found out later, after we'd gone through that with a new church, when you start a new church, that on the average, and it averages out about every after 3 years, after a three-year period of time, which we beat those odds, we made it to year four and a half. But statistically, at year three, 50% of the people that you begin the church with leave the church. And of those 50% of the people that leave, they are most of the times really close with the pastor and his family. And so that happened to us. It was a very painful time, not just for me and my family, but many of you. We lost about 80 to 90% of our leadership, and it was a very painful time. And so at the end of 2010, many of us felt battle-weary and worn. And personally, it felt like that I put the full weight of Livingstone's on my shoulders, and there were many days of loneliness and defeat and depression. And many times when I'd say, God, would you reassign me? Would you say, God, I'll go work at Sprint if that's what you want me to do. I was just ready. God, just would you let me go somewhere else? I mean, that's what we want to do. When rough times hit, many times we just think changing the location is the best thing, and that's not the way God always works. And I'm very grateful for my wife, Jana, who during that time, and she's just somebody, not only at time, but throughout our married life, she's a wise woman. She's a wise woman. And she helps me talk through things and process my thoughts. But there came a point when even she wasn't enough, and I had to seek out a counselor in Kansas, on the Kansas side, because I just needed. I mean, I really was at a place when I just needed to seek out some help. And sometimes you're at that place. There's nothing wrong with going to a counselor. And so I remember going over there one day and just kind of sharing my story and just tears with this stranger, complete stranger, just sitting there sharing everything that I had walked through and what was just kind of unloading my thoughts and feelings to him. And what's interesting is that he didn't tell me anything that I didn't already know. But he did confirm what I was feeling was legitimate. And he prayed for me, and things didn't change for another 5 or 6 months. But somehow, some way, I was reminded that I wasn't alone. And God carried me through that time. Leadership can be a lonely place. And if I were preaching to a room full of ministers or preachers this morning, there'd be their heads would be nodding up and down. And again, I don't share that to make you feel sorry. I just want to share that to you because most pastors out there, and Keith Castor, I mean, we got some PKs here. Most pastors these days don't have a safe place they can go to. Most pastors don't have a confidant other than maybe their wife that they can go to. And I just want you to tell, I want to tell you one thing. Living, there are some confidants. I have men around me, and you are a loving group of people. I mean, I just want to say that to you, that this is the place where we feel supported. But it's not just a leadership issue that feeds loneliness. Some of our loneliness can be attributed to certain circumstances or to the season of life that we're in. Like when it seems like everybody around us is getting engaged or getting married. Or they're having babies, or maybe you're newly married, or you're adjusting becoming a parent, and even though those are good times, things are different. And so you may feel the loss of relationships that you once had before. Life and circumstances change, and it can feed into our loneliness. But I think some people choose to be lonely, especially those that kind of have an introvert personality. Because it's easier and takes less effort just to stay home and avoid those awkward social situations. There are all kinds of things and situations that feed into loneliness, but there are other times that I've discovered when you can't pinpoint why you feel lonely. When relationally and circumstantially things are good, but you still feel lonely and you can't figure it out. And I believe it's in those times that God wants to teach us something, and he wants us to go deeper in our relationship with him. And it's going to require us being honest and transparent with God and with ourselves and those around us. And it's important that we learn to share our struggles and our feelings with someone else. Just kind of stop right here. Just the question, who do you share your deepest struggles with? Who is that person or persons that you go to kind of process what you're feeling on the inside of you? It's important that we all have someone like that. Loneliness is a real thing, and I believe God wants to show us what to do with the pain called loneliness. And there's some clear truths that I believe he wants to speak into our lives throughout this series. Last week, Adam laid the foundational truth that we're going to kind of build on week after week. And the first part of the foundational truth that he shared is that God is the creator and sustainer of life. He's the creator and sustainer of life. Now, here's the deal. Most of us know that. That's not new news. Most of us know that in our head, but we don't really believe it. And the way I know we don't believe it is because we don't act like he is personal and that he's in control. Our actions reveal that we think he's distant, inattentive, and impersonal, that he's uninvolved with our lives. That translates in us trusting only in ourselves and in the things that we can control, which only fuels our anxiety and isolation and depression. And we begin to get to the place where we doubt that God can sustain what he created. And so the foundational truth is God is the creator and the sustainer of life. The second part of that is that he can sustain everything that he creates. Peter Lord is an old-time preacher. He's an old dude now, but he's a preacher down in Titusville, Florida. And I remember him making this statement one time. He said, what you believe you live by, the rest is just religious talk. Loneliness is a very real thing. So God can, so the question is, can God really sustain what he creates? There's three truths about loneliness that I want us to see this morning. And you have a handout that's in your, they're in your notes. The first statement is this, is that loneliness is a common human experience and struggle. Loneliness is a common human experience and struggle. And 1 Corinthians 10, 13 kind of backs this up. It says this. It says that there's no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. No temptation has overtaken you that is common to man. I remember when I was a teenage boy when that verse came alive to me. When I experienced it for the very first time, we were sitting around on a Saturday night. A bunch of us guys would always meet after our dates. And we'd meet at First Baptist Church because my buddy's dad was the maintenance guy there and we had keys to the church. I mean, that's how I learned to drive a bus and everything in the middle of the night. So we'd go into the fellowship hall and we'd pop popcorn and there'd be about 15, 20 guys in that room. And we'd talk about what kind of pizza we ate or what movie we went to and stuff like that. And one night it got extremely serious. We began to confess with each other the things that we were struggling with. And I remember that night, I thought I was the only teenage boy on the face of the earth that struggled with those things. But I found out that night that I was not alone. There's no temptation that is uncommon. All of us are dealing with the same thing. And so loneliness, it's a common issue. And it comes in all shapes and sizes. It can come through circumstances or divorce or death or grief or rejection. There's loneliness that comes through sin and disobedience. Loneliness that can accompany our courage and obedience. There's the loneliness of traveling. The loneliness of being new. The loneliness of following Jesus. The loneliness of widowhood and being single and choosing purity. That there's a loneliness of loveless marriages, of spiritual wilderness, of being misunderstood of leadership. There's loneliness of being a stay-at-home mom that has conversations with a two-year-old all day long. There's the loneliness of being removed from community, the college community that you had where you were 24/7 with your friends and then you graduate and you get in the real world and you realize that 24/7 fellowship doesn't happen anywhere. And it's lonely. There's a loneliness of illness. Loneliness is a common human experience and struggle. And in fact, just to kind of further my point, how many of you would say that in the last 6 months that there's been a period where you've experienced loneliness? Anybody? Raise your hand. Keep it up. Look around the room. Yeah. It's a common experience. Here's a crazy thing about loneliness. And this is really deep. The crazy thing about loneliness, it makes you feel alone. Profound, isn't it? It makes you feel alone. But Paul says, we're not alone. No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. And so that's encouraging to me. And that's why Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews says, don't neglect your fellowshipping together. Don't neglect worshiping together. Don't forsake the assembling with other believers. Why? Because there's something supernatural that happens when we gather together. And not only do we sit and worship together and sit under the teaching of the word, but there's something that happens when we're in a room with fellow believers that are experiencing the same struggles we are. We know that we're not alone. There's a song we used to sing at Birchwood. It's almost like an anthem to our church that said, that those who are with us are more than those against us. We have a great hope that God is here with us together. But here's the deal. If we're going to meet with God, we have to meet on his terms and not ours. And if we're going to talk about loneliness, we have to begin to view it as he sees loneliness, not as we do. And instead of saying, God, would you fix my problem? Sometimes God gives us the answer Sometimes before God gives us the answer, he wants to define the problem. So it's not just us asking the right questions and God giving us the right answer. Sometimes we're asking the wrong questions, and it's very possible that we have a wrong, unbiblical view about what loneliness is. And often God uses loneliness to teach us something about ourselves. And so we don't just need to seek after the solution from him. Sometimes we need to ask God to show us what the real problem is. So God, as we deal with this real issue of loneliness, that's common, God, would you teach us to ask the right questions? The second thing, which leads to the second point, is this, that loneliness at its root is a spiritual issue. Loneliness at its root is a spiritual issue, but we don't often define loneliness that way. Loneliness is often defined in a physical or emotional terms, and we primarily define it as the absence of people, which is why that when we get lonely, our first reaction is to go look for some place to go and a group of people to be with. And somewhere along the line, we realize that this isn't working. That's not filling the void. And many times, we think we're just with the wrong people. And so we don't just need more people. We need more quality people. Specifically, what we think is we need people in our lives that are just like us, that are just as good as we are, who live, love, and do everything that we do. But you can even find those types of people and not solve the loneliness problem. Because you can have more and better people in your life and still experience the pain of loneliness. Why? But because loneliness is not just an emotional or physical problem, it's a spiritual issue. And when you begin to drill down deeper, you begin to realize that loneliness is not just the absence of people, that it's also the felt pain of separation. And so more, even more better people, I know that's bad English, more better people like us will never take care of the root pain of separation that we're feeling. So many people are wearing themselves out looking for love in all the wrong places, trying to find the right person or persons to fill the void of their loneliness. And every once in a while, you'll run across somebody that's really cool, somebody that dulls that pain for a period of time, but it never lasts. It's like going to the dentist with a toothache and asking for some medicine to kill the pain. And I mean, I've had a lot of dental work in my lifetime. There's some good drugs. Dentist has some good drugs. In fact, I remember one time having some procedure done, and I hate that feeling when you leave the dentist and you're numb. And I go into Walgreens or someplace to fill a prescription, and the lady across the counter is looking at me with kind of the weirdest look on her face. And I realize when I get in the car that I have blood all the way down my face because my lip was numb and I chewed through my lip. There's some good drugs. They wear off after a while. And so sometimes in order to get rid of the pain, the problem, you've got to drill down. You've got to get to the root of the problem. And at the root of everyone's problems, at the root of all of our struggles is a sin problem that clouds our hearts. And basically what we have is a heart problem. And we don't need a new pill or medication. We need a new heart. And that takes a doctor. And I believe John addresses this problem in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. He says this. He says, "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full, that your joy may be complete." John says that everything in Scripture has been given to us to help and enable us to enjoy intimate relationship with God. And God's top priority for your life and mine is that we walk in close fellowship with Him. It's an incredible invitation that John begins with, a fellowship with God that results in joy and intimacy. And after all, isn't that what we're after? I mean, that's really what we're really after. We're after joy and intimacy. So much so that sometimes even Christians will overlook it or excuse some foolish behavior and defend it by saying that God wants me to be happy. I mean, I can cheat on my wife. Yeah, I can do this thing over here, but because God wants me to be happy. But that's not what God wants. He's going after joy in our life, and that only comes as we obey him, as we walk in obedience. John says, these things we write so that your joy may be complete. Verse 5, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. John says that we have an invitation into fellowship, and it's a fellowship with God and others that fills the joy that completes us. But then he goes on to say, if you want to have fellowship with one another, if it's going to be everything I designed it to be, if your joy is going to complete, then God says, you must have fellowship with me. You must have fellowship with me. That's at the root of us experiencing real relationships, is that we be in fellowship with God. And so if you're feeling lonely or separated, at the root of that is not merely the absence of people, but it could be the absence of God in your life. It could be that you're not pursuing a relationship with him. That's not the top priority in your life, and you're walking in disobedience because, as John says, it's the presence of sin in our hearts that separates us from God and other people. That's what breaks the fellowship. We have a heart problem. And that results in the pain of separation and loneliness. And it's not a new thing. You could trace it all the way back to Genesis 3 when the serpent deceived Adam and Eve. God said, you have run of the whole garden. You can eat of everything. Stay away from that one tree right there. Don't eat the fruit from that tree. And the serpent comes along one day and he says, God didn't know what he's talking about. He's trying to keep from you something. He knows that if you eat from that tree that you'll become God. So he's trying to withhold you something. If you eat this fruit, you will not die. Which was a half-truth. He was half right because when they ate the fruit, they didn't die physically, but they died spiritually. They became spiritually dead. And suddenly they looked at each other and experienced a feeling of profound shame to the point that they cover themselves with fig leaves and suddenly they don't want to be with God anymore. And so they look for some place to hide and hide behind a bush. And suddenly they start experiencing the pain of separation and they trying to hide each other. Trying to hide themselves. And then all of a sudden, God came into the garden a few days later, and he says, where are you? And it wasn't a question for God. I mean, he knew exactly where they were. It was a question for them. Where are you? Why are you hiding? What's changed? And Adam and Eve begin the blame game. Adam says, it's the woman you gave me. Levi, don't do that. Levi and Alyssa are back from their honeymoon. Congratulations. 1 week. It's awesome. It's good. Adam blames Eve. Eve blames the serpent. But the bottom line is we ate this fruit and now we feel separation and shame. And now we're hiding from the very one that created us. And God says as a result of that, as your result of you choosing the pleasure of sin, from now on you're going to inherit pain. I used to tell teenagers that if Adam and Eve hadn't messed up back then, we would still be running around naked in the garden. But sin entered the world. So now there's a painful reality where life and childbirth is going to hurt, and work is going to hurt, and our body's going to hurt, and it's going to fall apart until Jesus returns to redeem us. Because Adam chose the pleasure of sin, humanity has inherited the pain of loneliness and separation from God and others, which means at its root that loneliness began in the Garden of Eden, and it's a byproduct of our sin. But that's not the way we see it most of the time. We tend to elevate our lonely problem above our sin problem. The loneliness problem is really a lack of people problem, not a spiritual problem. And the way I know this is we start saying things like this, that if women would just learn to be women and like the nice guys instead of the bad guys, then I wouldn't have to turn to porn to fill my intimacy needs. If men would just start being men and learn how to lead women the way they should, then I wouldn't have to turn to the world for dating. Or if the church would start being the church, then I wouldn't feel so disconnected and I wouldn't have to go back to my old lifestyle looking for community. And here's the deal. Here's the truth. Men should be men and women should be women and the church should be the church. But the problem isn't that people do bad things because they're lonely. People do bad things because we're sinners. There's not a person out there who can fix that, who can make us feel better about ourselves. We need an advocate. We need help. We need someone who can save us, someone who can give us a new heart, because we have a heart problem. And it's manifested itself in so many ways, and somewhere along the way, we have to quit being we've quit being responsible sinners, and so now we're just victims of loneliness. Where we blame everyone else for our lonely problem. And that may be the view of secular psychology, but that's not God's view. Because God says that our sin problem is a deeper problem than our lonely problem. Or another way of saying it, that the world is under the rulership of the prince of darkness, the enemy of God, who blinds the mind of unbelievers. And the result is we live in a dark and fallen world, covered with the filth and the stench of sin, where people are spiritually dead with stone-cold hearts, and no one seeks after God. And in John 3:19 says that God sent Jesus as a light into the world, but the people love darkness more than the light, and their evil actions prove it. And this is the world we live in. These are the types of people we are. So is it any wonder that we're so lonely? Is it any wonder that we're filled with anxiety, that we fight depression? We're the children of Eden. And despite the fact that our eyes tell us that things are good, our hearts tell us that all we need is more people. If I just had that right girl or the right guy, that everything would be good. Scripture says that we are blind people groping around looking for one another. And by the time we actually find one another, we can't see each other clearly because we're covered in a sin problem. That's us. And I know that doesn't give you a warm fuzzy as you walk out of here. Sometimes we forget this. So what's the answer? We need new eyes and a new heart. Don't hear what I'm not saying here. I'm not devaluing or minimizing the physical needs that we have, meaning that if you are depressed and taking medication to control a chemical imbalance, that you have a biological issue that causes you to feel loneliness. I'm not saying that mere repentance fixes the issue. But I am saying that we can't divorce our physical needs from spiritual realities. And that every time we realize that our body is falling apart, every time we realize that we wake up with a new ache. I mean, it's just like a new ache every morning. Amen? We've got to acknowledge that the reason our bodies are falling apart, or the reason we have a chemical imbalance, is due to the fact that somewhere along the way we inherited the pain of the fall. We live in a fallen world. And every time we lose a loved one, it's not merely an emotional pain or a need, but also a spiritual reality that death happened because sin happened. And every time we lose a loved one, we must face the fact that we live in a world of sin. We cannot forget that at its root, loneliness is a spiritual issue. And the answer is not more friends or more people to be around, more people to keep us company, to make us feel better. We need help. We need a Savior. Specifically, we need an advocate whose name is Jesus Christ. And our deepest heart cry should be, God, I'm a sinner living in a dark and fallen world, and I need help. That's the problem. That's the problem. Because when we allow God to define the problem, He comes through with an answer. And we discover that we haven't been left alone. The Old Testament says this. Old Testament prophet Isaiah said, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. And that light is Jesus. He's the answer. What I've discovered in my life, what I discovered for 28 years of single, being single, and lonely nights, and some of you that don't have the option of going off to college, man, I remember being the only guy, what felt like the only guy back at home. Everybody else went off to the college they wanted to go to, and I didn't have the grades to do that, or later didn't have the money to do that. And so there was many times I remember just being by myself. Looking back on that, I wouldn't trade anything for that time. Because God showed me some things about myself, and there was a dependence that grew. That my dependence on Him grew during that time. My trust in Him grew during that time. I learned things about God I would have never learned. So sometimes God has a purpose in your loneliness. If you're walking through that right now, Don't just begin to start rebuking stuff. Just stop and say, God, is there something you want to teach me during this time? He's wanting us to go deeper. Loneliness that was introduced at the fall can be used by God to display His glory and to draw us closer to Himself, to conform us to His image. And even though it's true that some of our own sinful choices have given birth to death in our lives, let's not lose the sight. Let's not lose sight of the fact that God can redeem our past. He can redeem our past. That He can sustain everything that He creates. He's still sovereign, which is our last point. God is sovereign over our loneliness. And even we, like when we, like Adam and Eve, have chosen death and darkness, God says that's not news to me. That didn't take me by surprise, because from the very moment in the Garden of Eden, I set a plan into motion to redeem you, to save you, and to give you a new heart. Ezekiel 36:26, one of my favorite verses. God says, I will give you a new heart, And I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. That's a great promise. It's a great hope that we have, that God isn't ignorant of our deepest needs and problems. He provides a solution to our sin problem. Jesus came to save sinners, to overcome the world. 1 John 3:8 says that Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy. And God can use our loneliness as an opportunity to display his glory in accomplishing those things. And through Jesus, we can join with Genesis 50:20 that says, what the world meant for evil, God has meant for good. And we can say with Romans 8:28 that God uses all things together for the good to those that love him, even our loneliness. Because our loneliness can lead us to the one who can meet our deepest needs. And nothing can separate us from his love. And loneliness can become a useful tool in the hands of our Father. What I've discovered about 61 years of life is that loneliness always shows its face every once in a while. When things are going good, things are going bad, people all around you, when you're by yourself. And there's times when I'm completely by myself, I don't feel alone. But loneliness is something we always deal with. And that's not a shocker. It's not a shocker that we're walking in pain. It's not a shocker that there's bad news all around. Man, conversations I heard this morning from some of you, you're walking through some very real pain right now. And that's not a shocker, because Jesus said that in this world you will have trouble. But he went on to say, but I have overcome the world. C.S. Lewis said this, and we're going to be gone after this. I love this statement. It said, God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks in our conscience, but he shouts in our pain. He shouts in our pain. It's his megaphone. To rouse a deaf world. God in his great mercy will not remove the pain of loneliness until we no longer find pleasure in our sin. So God, I pray that you would speak through the megaphone of pain. God, some of us are walking through that right now. God, some of us are walking through the loss of a job. Some of us are walking through the death of a family member. Some of us are walking through a bad doctor's report. And so, God, we just declare to you, God, that we trust you. We do believe that you are sovereign. God, we don't understand it. A lot of things we don't like. We recognize, God, that we are created by you and that you sustain everything you create. So, God, I pray, Father, if we're walking through loneliness, God, help us not just to kind of fill that void, trying to fill that void with other people and opportunities and things to do. But God, help us to pause long enough and say, God, is there something you want to teach me about myself? That you want to teach me about you? God, help us to be, help us to put our relationship with you as top priority, to seek after you. Sing this with me. It is well. Just stand to your feet. With my soul. Time.